Last week I was trying to study, and it never did come together. When the Lord, before he was arrested in the garden and took off, he told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that your faith faileth not. Well, what I was trying to put together was the fact, did it fail? There, very quickly, Peter denied the Lord, followed afar off, set by with the enemies in the fire and all that. And I never could get, and I still ain't got it together. So, I didn't got nothing to do, just kind of the crumbs off of that message I was trying to put together. You ever thought, well, you probably ain't thought about that, put it in on your cell phone. But anyway, that's a good thought right there. Y'all see the big news item this morning? Where the student attacked the teacher for taking his cell phone away from him that he wouldn't quit using in class. I'm telling you, it has an addiction to it. It's addictive. And that was national news this morning. I don't know what all he done, I just seen that up there and he was talking about it, but every once in a while you need to kind of sit down with your Bible and see what's going on in there. Amen. But anyway, turn with me, if you would, to Luke 22:32. And some of you scholars might can help me out with that, but it appears his faith failed. But I'm going to show you some things about Peter. And you know, prior to this incident in the Bible, Peter was mentioned many times. He was part of the inner circle of the Lord. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration. He went to the garden to pray. I mean, he said it by the Lord at the Lord's Supper. He's the one who laid his head over on his chest. He's the one when the Lord said, you know, well, I'm going to wash your feet. He said, well, you'll never. He didn't say, don't wash mine. He said, you'll never wash mine. And you'll find him in the garden there when they come to arrest the Lord, that he jerked that sword out and cut that guard's ear off. Well, you would have a hard time believing that Peter was the one that followed afar off. And so I want to show you some things about that. Look in Luke 22:32. I think that fumes have got in my head. My thinking good. I wasn't allergic to mold about 10, 15 years ago. And I'm getting a house with mold in it or a motel room. And buddy, it makes me sick immediately almost. Look in 22:32. Look what it says there. In 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, 31, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Look what the Lord said. Now, this is Jesus praying for you. And I've often wondered, does he pray for us? He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. But look what he said also. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And converted there, evidently, he's talking about the coming of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Because at this stage in life, the Holy Spirit had not come, and there was no conversion for us to change of heart. And so that evidently is what he's talking about there. Amen. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now you see that bragging type thing that Peter's doing there? And that's the flesh speaking. And Peter there, in looking at that, you know, and I know there's no doubt that Peter didn't love the Lord. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. But you see here where Peter said that, and Peter was the first to defend the Lord. Peter was after salvation, after the Holy Ghost came, Peter was a totally different Peter than he was prior. So this is basically a carnal man trying to serve God because his nature, nothing had been changed about him. He hadn't been converted. And it looks like Peter had three strikes before he was out. And before we look at the message, you'll see there that he was one of the three of the Lord. He was the inner circle. He was shown things that the rest of the disciples were never shown. He was the closest to the Lord. And when they sat down at this table there, Peter sat right by him. But you've got to realize Peter was a different character of a person. Even after salvation, after the Holy Ghost came, remember he was fishing, and I preached on that several times. But when he saw the figure on the seashore and recognized it was the Lord, the Bible said he was naked and he put on his clothes. So Peter was a character, to say the least. Now, I don't think the way you fished in those days was naked. I don't think that would be the proper attire for fishing. Amen? But if you're a heathen, that's the way it is. Well, I mean, go with me here. Don't visualize it. Just go to the story. Amen? But that's the kind of person Peter was. But I believe Peter, down in his heart, he meant everything he said about the Lord. I believe he meant everything. Even Jesus told him, said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not upon Peter, but he did ask Peter that question. Said, who do men say that I am? So him and Peter had a close relationship. They had, the world is saying, is they had something going, you know. And yet Peter there, when they come to arrest the Lord, Peter immediately took an about face. I'm going to show you three things. First of all, he put confidence in the flesh. Peter's downfall didn't begin when the Lord got arrested in the garden. Now, I've been pastoring almost 31 years, been preaching almost 37. And we got some ex-pastors in here and got some preachers been in this thing a long time. I have noticed the one that crows the loudest is the first one to depart. Amen? I've noticed that. I like people that comes in and just slides right on in and get in the church and start enjoying the preaching and get to work yourself. The McDonald's, Bobby and Diane has come in. They're slowly working themselves in here. Brother Justice and Miss Tanya, same way. They didn't hit that front door shouting and praising God. This is, man, we finally found what we need. And boy, this. They just kind of worked their way in here and they'd miss a Sunday too. Brother Tom, Miss Terry, same thing. They'd come on Sunday and they'd go another place and they'd come. You finally work yourself in. That's the kind of person that you can pretty well say, you know, I believe, well, Terry and Jay and Nick. They'd come, and then I wouldn't see them a while, and they'd come, and I wouldn't see them a while, and they'd come, and I think, well, I must have said something made them mad. And then they'd come back, and, you know, and so finally they said, well, we're going to move over here by the church. Well, praise God, you know. I like that. Now, Peter was a totally different person than that. Peter's downfall did not begin in the garden. Peter's downfall began when he put confidence in his flesh. He began to say what he was going to do and what he wasn't going to do. Amen. You'll never wash my feet. Boy, what a statement to make to the Lord. I never teach Sunday school. Boy, I'll never be a missionary. Boy, I never go to that country. Say, where are they headed? They're headed out. That's the attitude to get you out. Look in Mark 14. The flesh was sleeping when the spirit should have been praying. Remember that story when he took them to the garden? Now you say they was wore out. They probably was tired. But Peter, he's bragging so much. I'm pretty sure the Lord, when he came back, he didn't expect to find Peter sleeping. Look what he says in verse 37. It says, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepeth thou? Could thou not watch 1 hour? Why didn't he refer to the rest of the other two? He didn't call their name. He called Peter's name. Why? Peter was the one doing all the bragging. It's best sometimes just be quiet. Amen. You know what he says there? He went and prayed. He went a little further and prayed. And then when he come back, he come and findeth them, more than one, sleeping, but he said to Peter, Peter, Simon sleepeth, and said unto Peter, Simon sleepeth thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? And you know he's not talking about could you not watch 8 hours? Could you not stay with me all night? I believe when the Lord said 1 hour, I believe that's what it took. That's what it was. It was 1 hour. And so Peter, with all this boasting, he couldn't stay awake 1 hour to pray. Knowing that the Lord was in deep travail up in there somewhere talking to him. So you got to be real careful. Look what he says in verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And that's a good advice right there. Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And so Peter fell there. Then at the Lord's Supper, the first response from Peter when Jesus was going to wash his feet was a fleshly response. It was a disobedient response. See that attitude? That was disobedience. Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. And he said, no, you ain't either. That's point blank in Jesus' face. See, he's telling the Lord what he's going to do. That's another flesh problem. You know, to serve God and let God use you, you're going to have to come to the point to where not my will but thine. That's where you're going to have to come. Well, Lord, I'd do anything you want me to. Oh, I don't want to do that. Lord, I wanted to serve you. Well, how about just coming in and cleaning up the bathrooms? Well, I don't want to do that. Amen. God, I'd do anything you want me to do, God. I want to surrender my life to you, Lord. I want you to use me in a mighty way. Well, I need to go to the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Oh, Lord, I got these kids. You have to be very careful with that. Peter said unto him, I shall never wash my feet. And Peter loved the Lord, but his flesh was controlling him. See, I believe that's where the church is now. Not this particular church, but the church, the body of Christ. I keep saying church, the body of Christ. You run into people all over town that they love the Lord Jesus Christ, but they ain't going to live right. They ain't going to act right. They ain't going to dress right. But you talk to them, they love God just as much as you love God. Amen? They ain't going to be faithful. They have no standards whatsoever of their life. And what it is, their flesh is controlling them. Amen? And they're saved. They love the Lord, but their flesh is controlling them. And this is the state of Peter was. Remember in the garden, Peter was the one who took things in his own hands. In John 18:10. It says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The flesh here was still controlling Peter, and it reacted before the spirit did. So Peter here is a perfect type of a carnal Christian, or a carnal, far as being born again, but as I guess we could refer to him as a carnal Christian. He's a follower of Christ, but he was carnal. The spirit within him had not been saved, had not been born again. So Peter's life, and I think what I'm trying to get to, Peter's life prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit and Peter's life after the coming of the Holy Spirit is totally different. Once the Holy Spirit came, once Peter got converted on the day of Pentecost, Peter was the ringleader of all those of that way up until Paul. And he was the messenger to the Jew all the way through the entire New Testament. He wrote two books of the New Testament. But see, prior to that, Peter was just a bundle of nothing. I mean, just a mess. He had good intentions. He didn't have the power to carry them out. He had good language, but he couldn't back it up. That's a carnal Christian. And you got carnal Christians today. You got people today, they talk a good game, but they don't ever do nothing about it. They talk a good game, they'll be the first one to let you down. They talk a good game, they'll be the first one to turn it back on. I learned in my lost life that a man is mean as you'll let him be. I learned that at the bars. Every once in a while there's an exception to that. And that's when you got a lot of trouble on your hands. Thank God most of y'all don't know nothing about that life, but some of you sitting here do. And I learned that in my life. If a man can bluff you and back you and run over you and bully you, he will. But when you stand up to them, 9 out of 10 times they'll back down. I learned that. And I learned that from the world. And that's a carnal Christian. And it's the same way in the church. If you're not careful in the church, you get the church full of carnal people, and all they are is talk. They never do nothing. You get somebody to come along and they tell you how bad they're going to mess you up. They ain't going to do nothing to you. But ain't nothing but mouth. A man going to hurt you ain't going to announce it before he does it. Amen. But you learn that in life, in the stories of life or the life history. And so you got a spiritual warfare going on in Peter. Peter loved the Lord, and yet the flesh controlled Peter. I believe that's where the church is today as a whole in America. I believe our church has got a pretty good dose of this right here. I don't believe there's a person in this church that don't love the Lord. But you don't have the ability to do anything about it. Amen? You don't want to disappoint him. You don't want to disappoint nobody. But you come in, and when God moves and all that, you love it. And Brent, I feel so close to the Lord, but you never put feet on that. You never take that and use it to do something for God, to bring glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, did he put confidence in the flesh, but he lost his communication with the Lord. Now, Peter said at the Lord's table, I'm just teaching type tonight. I ain't preaching, so you heard me preach. You know I ain't preaching. Remember, Peter was the one who sat at the Lord's table at the Last Supper, and he's the one that laid his head on the Lord's shoulder there. And if you'll figure this out, this is 10 hours earlier. This wasn't a year or two earlier. This was within 10 hours. He's the one hugged up and hearing the heartbeat of our Savior. But then 10 hours later, he's walking afar off and standing and cursing and saying, I know not the man. Amen. These are the people that have come to church and shout the glory and sing the old ship of Zion and just shout it out and have the time of their life. And before Sunday evening comes, you can't get them back to church. That love done gone. Amen. Why, they're giving over to the flesh. In Mark 14:54, it tells us when they arrested Jesus, Peter followed him afar off. What happened? He lost communication. He lost that closeness. He lost his walk with God. He lost his fellowship with the Lord. That tenderness of God. That what he had in the garden when they arrested him, where he's willing to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's a following afar off. Way off. He got to the point of where he can't hear the voice of God. He couldn't hear the heartbeat of God. Somehow Peter went from the chest of the Lord to following afar off. Now, you'll notice there that Peter was still in the presence of the Lord, but had lost all communication with him. He could see the Lord. He knew it was the Lord. He could see what Jesus Christ was having to go through. He could probably see the pain and anguish on his face. He could probably see him bent over and suffering all the beating and the torture and the mockery. The Bible says he suffered the shame. He suffered. And Peter's seen all that, but yet he lost communication with him. Look in Luke 22:61. Well, look back a little bit. Luke 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. Now, there's a whole other statement right there. He sat by the fire. He didn't stand by it. Now, a position of seating is a position of comfort. Position, I'm going to stay here a while. Get me a seat. He didn't stand by the fire. He didn't pass by the fire. He actually pulled up and sat down at the fire. And then the Lord being, the Holy Spirit being what it is, they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Ain't that sad to know that a child of God is sitting among the people of the world, the God haters? I never understand it, and I preached it for my whole ministry. I do not understand how your best friend can be a lost person. I do not understand that. You have nothing in common. I can see having an acquaintance. I can see having a co-worker. But I cannot see that the person you talk to every day, the person you want to go out and dinner with, go to the mall with, does not know your Savior. I don't understand that. What do you have with them? What fellowship has light with darkness? And so the only way you can do that is get yourself in such a backslidden condition that there's no light in you. In other words, it don't bother them to be with you. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know not him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another, confidentially affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know him not. What thou saith, and immediately while he yet spake, the crow, the crow, that's a tongue twister, ain't it? But he lost communication with the Lord. He put confidence in the flesh. He got so far away from God, he could no longer communicate with him. And the last thing, he compromised with the enemies. If you'll just think about this for a minute, here's all these God haters. Here's all these people. And here's St. Peter, the disciple. Right in amongst them. All the cursers, the swearers. They was rejoicing. Going to do away with this man. Peter knew exactly who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew exactly where he was having to do and what he was going to have to do. And yet Peter pulled himself right in there and sat down right amongst them. I can see him falling afar off. In one of the Gospels, I think it's in, I don't think it's in Luke, but it's in one of them, said that one of the disciples, Peter stood at the door and one of the disciples went and got him and brought him in. So evidently, there might have been some more disciples in that crowd that didn't speak up either. But the main emphasis was on Peter. Amen. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us that we are friends with the world, we are enemy with God. So Peter, within 10 hours, went from being the heartbeat of God to the enemies of God. And see, you say, well, did he plan that? No. Did he think he'd do that? No. Did he ever think he would deny the Lord? No. I don't believe he did. Did he ever plan to? No. But when you get to the point to where you're putting confidence in the flesh, you're losing communication with the Lord, you start compromising with the world, you're headed that way. They people and members, it was members of this church that went back out into that world, and if you've seen them today, every once in a while they run across one or two of them, you can't tell that they ain't of the world. There ain't nothing about them would bring any recognition of being God's child whatsoever. And most time they see me, they dart around behind shelves at Walmart. Amen. And that's good because I'm uncomfortable meeting them. I don't have nothing to say to them. I don't have nothing to say to them. Amen. But I just don't understand how a saved person can do that. You say, well, yeah. Have I been top-notch, wide open all night? No. Do I back down, not fall down? But we cool off, we all do. But I ain't gonna join the world. Peter would have been better off if he had went with the rest of them. He wouldn't have had the curse and deny the Lord. There's always steps to compromising with the Lord. He stood out. Bible says he stood without. It's in John 18 where that is. He was at the door. In 16, the other disciple came and got him and brought him inside. And so it appears that perhaps there were some more disciples in that crowd, but somehow Peter had a closer relationship with the Lord. Peter, James, and John seemed to be what they call the inner circle. And so evidently the other ones were just like when they were sleeping in the garden and the Lord came back and said, Peter, could you not have just lasted an hour? There was two more of them there in that garden. Why did he say something to them? They people right in here. I trust everyone's saved here tonight, but they people within this church has got a closer relationship with God than others. And they people right within this congregation that God has given you a closer touch or closer, or you sought it and got it. Amen. And you're going to be accountable. And they people here, they just got a casual relationship. They're saved. They love God, but they're just casual. They come to church. They read their Bible. They pray. And in a church, a congregation like this, a certain people in this movement, in the independent Baptist movement, they're just certain people that it seems like just got a little deeper relationship with the Lord. I think you seek after it myself. I don't think it's nothing God does. I think it's something. Amen. The more you willing, the more you submit, and the more you're willing, God, the more God will do for you and the more God will use you. We limit God by the fact of what we ain't going to do and what we are going to do. And many people are ignorant of it. Like the little black preacher said, I don't know what it is. I just know when you ain't got it. And that's the way I am. Say, what is it? I don't know. When I meet somebody ain't got it, I just know they ain't got it. Amen. Peter became comfortable with his crowd. He sat by the fire. Put him up a chair. Sat down. And Satan's always a position of comfort or steadfastness, or I ain't planning on going nowhere. I shall not be moved. And so he just sat down there. So there was three things there. He put confidence in the flesh. He lost communication with his Lord, and he compromised with the world. And in your Christian life, you got to watch those three things. First of all, that flesh will let you down. It hates God. It hates everything pertaining to God. There's no good thing that dwelleth in the flesh. And you're not the exception. Amen? Your flesh is easily offended. Your flesh demands attention. And when you don't get it, your flesh demands patting, pampering. Amen? And it's amazing. You walk with the Lord for 10 years. One person can say one thing at the right time, and you will turn and walk away from it. Because you got offended. It's a flesh. It'll do that. Amen? You say, mine? Yeah, mine. Yours too. Amen? You can't put confidence in the flesh. You can't do it. And you got to realize when something like that happens, you got to stop and think about that. Well, am I just adding a little bit too much to this? Because you know what happens? When that happens, the devil gets in there and he gets to churning and staring. And you'll get by yourself and you get to thinking. And you get, well, you know, the other day I went over there and so, and you know, I heard somebody say something about that and so. Well, they don't even want me there at that church. Amen. I done been there. Yeah, they don't even want me down there. I come through the door and didn't nobody talk to me. That's why when I see people come through the door, especially visitors like Brother Jason come tonight, I'm all over him. I love him. And his brother-in-law, amen, come over here, I make a point to go talk to him. Amen. But I tell you, I remember when I walked in my first church, I was one uncomfortable fellow. I done had everybody in there judged. I done had everybody a bunch of hypocrites. I wasn't raised in church. And I come in there looking like somebody crawled out from under a rock, man. Tammy remembers and Diane remembers. And Kathy probably. But I look, and I couldn't understand why everybody's staring at me. My Lord. I had hair halfway down my back. I had a beard, a full beard, and I had biker clothes on and no more Georgia Giant motorcycle boots. No, and I couldn't understand why nobody stared at me. Looked like a freak, man. But Christians are just as bad. They're just as bad. You say, why? Because you got that flesh leading that spirit. You're that spirit leading that flesh. And then he lost communication. Communication is just being able to commune with God through prayer, through just a constant walk with the Lord. Amen. And you compromise with the world. And when you compromise with the world, you just don't see nothing wrong with nothing. Some of our men went over to the Church of the Highlands and to a prison thing, to be indoctrinated so they could get into prison. And Brother Justice can confirm this, and I think Brother Andrew. I think that they boast of 27,000 members. And they said it's like a mall in there. They got coffee shops and all that through there. They said the ladies that kind of waited on the prison people, did you go, Graham? Yeah. And said the ladies that waited on them had the latex or the stretchy pants, or y'all call them yoga pants. I don't know what that is. You know, they...
No shirt.
Yeah. And so they run around waiting on that bunch of men over there in church. You say, what is that? You say they say, possibly. Do they love God? Ask them. But they have no convictions about godliness, holiness. Amen. And nakedness is always a sign of demonic control. Read your Bible. When a person starts going away from God, degenerating away from God, The first thing that goes is the clothes. When a person don't love God, the biggest problem you're going to have with them is the clothes. Amen. I believe in modest dress. I don't care what you got on, be modest. Amen. Just be modest with it. I've never been one to harp on pants too much, but some of you ladies ain't got no business with pants on. We just got a favorite saying, just because they make it in your size don't mean you need to wear it. That's an Andrews right there. That's some Andrews theology. We have to watch. I have to watch. I've been in this almost 37 years. I have to watch myself. I have to guard myself. I have to watch my attitude. I have to watch what offends me and what don't offend me. So why wouldn't you have to watch? Why wouldn't you have to guard? And I have to watch it. Well, is that the devil trying to get me, you know, crossways with these people? So you have to guard. Ladies, you have to guard. You want to dress appropriate. You want to dress. I have women say, well, everybody's always hitting on me. Well, you ever consider maybe how you're dressing? I got no favorite saying. If it ain't for sale, keep it covered up. Very simple. I don't have no ladies hitting on me. Of course, I'm ugly as a mud fence, but I have a preacher, get around a preacher. Well, I'm always having trouble. Well, I don't have no trouble with him. Conduct yourself right. Conduct yourself like a lady. Conduct yourself like a mother. Conduct yourself like a gentleman. Amen. That's just nothing but flesh. Get a little age on you, you got a big ego problem, and boy, you'd like to think that you might could turn somebody's head. Amen. Thank you, Miss Ann. You don't want to understand me. Me and you gonna have church. If we can run them all off, me and you just have church. Amen. Hope you got something out of it.